you to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We are saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community. Now, if I happen to save a soul along the way, don't hold that against me. Let's just call that icing on the cake. Because the mission here at the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show is to build strong businesses in our community so that we can put our people to work. And we do that with business development, job creation, and service. Now, if you find yourself at a business crossroads and you're not sure which way to turn, I'd like for you to turn on the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. I am Robert Gatewood, your host, and I bring, just want to celebrate all the business owners out here, the entrepreneurs, the self-employed. We have mad love for you here on the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show, and that is what this show is about. So if you are a business owner, if you are an entrepreneur, if you are self-employed, if you know someone who's trying to stick that toe in the entrepreneurial pool, then you have a resource right here on Radio 1 on the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show at 1450 AM and 95.9 FM. I want to thank Miss Kathy Hughes for making this show and this station possible. She is the epitome and the personification of what entrepreneurship and that good old spirit of doing it yourself and bootstrapping and starting something and watching it manifest into something grand and wonderful. Karen Johnson over here in the sales department is also a good contributor to the show. She makes this possible. Mr. Ron Thompson, the program director. So I want to say hats off and shout out to all of the folks over here at Radio 1 that makes this show possible every day. And to you entrepreneurs, sometimes you just need some help. It doesn't necessarily mean you need somebody to hold your hand, but sometimes you need some psychological, some mental help. You need some support, some motivation. And that's what this show is about. Now, we provide the knowledge. We provide information. We provide inspiration. We provide guests. We provide tools, everything you need to make a business succeed and grow. And sometimes you all might say, well, who in the heck died and made you king, Robert Gatewood? Well, let me tell you something, folks. I got a little bit of cred here. I've been at this. I came out of school back in, gosh, I can't even tell you how long ago. It's been so long. Came out of school, and I was supposed to go to law school. I decided to go into the business arena. And at the age of 22 years old, I was a national buyer for a food chain. Got a lot of knowledge early into the business arena. I've been the president of Telegrocery, one of the first home delivery supermarkets in the country. And that was a technology-based. We were the first online shopping venue in the country. This was over in Crystal City, Virginia, right here, not far from where we are right now. I've also been senior vice president of marketing and business development and one of the founders of Diet to Go out in one of the co-owners of Diet to Go out in Lawton, Virginia. And we took that company from the back of Econo Lodge all the way. Now we're coast to coast with Diet to Go. I'm also president and founder of Gatewood Marketing and own a advertising and marketing agency. We are a business development company. We take companies from their inception, from the middle point, from your booming days, and just make it better from wherever you are. So if you're trying to get started and you're trying to join the world of entrepreneurs, then you need to give me a call. Go to my website, gatewoodmarketing.com. gatewoodmarketing.com. You'll see some of those testimonials down there at the bottom of the page. We have a lot of industries we work with. Some of our favorites, I mean, we don't have any favorites, but we do have a lot of followers in the legal field. People like Michael Rozier, he and his wife Patricia, they've been alternate presidents of the National Bar Association. People like Carmese Graves, people like Tisha Hillman, Eric Tyrone, William Porter Law, Vinnie Williams, the list of Margot Thomas out of Virginia, the list of attorneys that we represent, it just on goes on and on and on. We do a lot of work with therapists. So people like Pamela Little, like Dr. Baraka, of the Baraka Associates, Dr. Bellany of the Baraka Associates. We have Sonia Williams. So we have a long list of therapists that we work with. We also work with people in the financial industry, like Brooks and Associates, Suncrest Financials, Avery and Associates. We just go on and on and on. We work with people in the home and the home improvement industry, in the medical field. We work with people in practically every area, hair industry. So if you have a company and you are trying to make a toehold, and folks, you're going to need some help. You're going to need some help doing this. So just give me a call. Go to my website, gatewoodmarketing.com, or call me at 301-839-2836. And I've never been one to say I can do all this by myself. So I bring in some of the heavyweights, some people who are also knowledge in areas who can shore up some of the things I talk about. We have one who's joining us on every third Friday, and that's Ms. Philosoday of the Money Zone. She's a money lady. If you got money issues, you got money opportunities, you trying to grow that money, you need some folks that understand money. And nobody understands it better than this lady who's on the line. Good morning, Philosoday.
Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I know you're about making money. You want them folks that like to make money while you sleeping, while you eating.
And you know, that's the funny, I'm working on something now so I can make money while I'm sleeping.
Well, wake up long enough to do this show because I know. But I admire everything you're doing, Philosoday. I have, whatever I talk about, I think about people who are young, energetic, who understand where we're trying to get to, not just as a show, but as a country, as a community, as a body of entrepreneurs. I think of you as the poster child because you are doing it and you don't mind sharing that knowledge and information with our audience and the people that come to you. I've been working with you now for many years, and I know you've done right by me, and I've sent people your way, and they've all come back and said that it was a good choice, a good decision. You can also find out her information on the homepage of the Marketing Pulpit. You can find her photo, find my photo. You can find information about the show. You can go, we're also on Twitter. So if you have a Twitter account, you can follow us on Twitter. That's the Marketing Pulpit, at Marketing Pulpit. Also on Facebook, we're at Marketing Pulpit. We're on Instagram at Marketing Pulpit. We are just about everywhere at Marketing Pulpit. I'm also on LinkedIn. I did an article a few years ago. It's called The Confederate Flag, A Case Study in Branding. And we're going to talk about branding later in this show. All the myths and misconceptions you've heard about branding and some of the gaps you haven't filled in about what branding is all about. We're going to talk about that later in the show as part of our marketing sermon. And we're going to talk about some of the things that have led up to this discussion today. Things like what's happening over at Fox News. Seen Bill O'Reilly. He's taking the fall for all of his misgivings. And I mean, this guy was not a good guy. He was not a good person. I would say this, what's happening to him could not have happened to a nicer person or a more deserving person. But it also speaks to branding. It speaks to how you should protect your brand and how determined companies are to protect their brand, even at the expense of dishing a guy like Bill O'Reilly. That was an article on the New York Times. They talked about how Bill O'Reilly, he had about 30 nationally broadcast commercials each night. People like Mercedes-Benz, Aleve, BMW. But because of these allegations of sexual harassment and just all kind of terrible things, these guys decided that no matter how big Bill O'Reilly was, no matter how much money he may have been sending their way, nothing was worth damaging their brand over. Because long after Bill O'Reilly is gone, their brand must survive. And so, Philosoday, that's why later in the show we're going to talk about the power of branding. And I noticed in your world, you are building your brand and you are doing it really, I think, the way it should be done. You have your logo, you have your color scheme going, you are on multiple platforms, you have a slogan, you are doing branding right. And that's why we're going to talk about branding. And like I say, later in the show, Philosoday, tell us what you're going to talk about. Philosoday always brings us some tax and accounting tips. What are you going to be bringing us today later on?
Well, you know what? I'm actually going to discuss about the five revelations that I concluded what occurred to small business owners this tax season. They made a lot of mistakes. And it's going to haunt them 6 months to years from today just from them not hiring a professional to do their stuff. So,
So you think they did some doozies, huh?
Oh, I know. I got the messages afterwards. I get clients from last year that made mistakes that didn't want to pay for the services. And it was just a mess, Robert. So I just basically just did a quick evaluation, and it's bad.
All right.
So they made a lot of bad decisions this year.
So, folks, that's a philosophy later in the show. She's going to come and talk about some of the five revelations that occurred to her over this past tax season, and really some of the reasons you should get a professional. And not, I mean, taxes, accounting, but you small business owners out there. Now, I sit there and I talk to several business owners a week. Some come to me for help. Somebody or something, I don't know if it was a revelation from on high, a spouse, a business advisor, said, look, go talk to this Gatewood guy. And they come in there with the right idea, and then they go out and they decide, well, I think I'm just going to try to wing it because I think I'm going to save that money and go put it on something else. Maybe go buy me a car, take me a trip, or do something else. Folks, this is, I don't want to sound self-serving, but let me put it this way. Even if you don't come to me, business ownership is not something you just grow up knowing how to do. Just like you don't grow up knowing how to be a doctor, how to be a lawyer, how to be a roofer, how to be an accountant, how to be a teacher, how to be a therapist. You need somebody to show you how to do it. Now, if you didn't go to school and get a degree in business, then how in the heck do you think you're going to just do this organically? You could probably spend the next 50 years figuring out, but who has 50 years to figure something out? Get you some help. That's why people like Palashade, myself, and our other great guest hosts that we bring on the show, and our guests, that's why we are here. I am celebrating you today. I am saying congratulations for taking that step. It's bold, it's powerful, it's empowering, it's inspiring. I take my hat off to you. But that's just one step. The next step is to take the steps that you need to step, that you need to make to be successful. Stepping out there is a big part of it, believe me. But you got to take that next step. Also, folks, we're going to finish up talking about passive income. We started that last week. We're going to finish up on that. This is the Marketing Pulpit. The number is 1-800-450-7876. Call us if you want to join the discussion. Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOS and 95.9 FM.
Good morning. This WOL traffic and weather update brought to you by the Ad Council. 295 northbound, very slow from Pennsylvania Avenue up to East Capitol Street. Southbound on 295 and delays Burroughs Avenue down past East Capitol Street. Third Street Tunnel is very slow. Northbound up at the end of the tunnel into the long-term construction at Massachusetts Avenue. Branch Avenue northbound right after the Beltway, before Authway. It was the right turn lane closed. For roadwork, just a brief delay. Join parents and experts at understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues to help you help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything. Now your WOL weather forecast. Could see a thunderstorm this afternoon, high near 83. Increase in clouds overnight, though, down to 55. Tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day and cooler than today, high near 62. Steve Hirshhorn for 1450 AM and 95.9 FM WOL. Where information is power.
I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. I have in the studio Miss Felicia. And Felicia is going to be talking later on about some of these five revelations that occurred to her during the course of the tax season. So you definitely want to stick around for that on the next break, after the next break. We're talking about branding also. We're talking about Bill O'Reilly. Now, Bill O'Reilly is this is a classic case. Now, I also did this article, case study in branding the Confederate flag. If you go to LinkedIn, you'll find out more about that also. So branding, no matter how big you think you are as a personality or how big you think you are as an employee, how big you think you are as a customer or any stakeholder in an organization, you are not going to be bigger than that company's brand, at least if they're smart, because your brand has to outlast. It has to endure. Any of these shifts in popularity and issues and challenges that may pop up in the course of a business, as Fox News has found out in their dealings with Bill O'Reilly. There was also, and that was the customers really had a revolt. They just said, enough. We just can't take this anymore. Now, you're taking, I mean, they're starting to lose money. When you have 50 of your sponsors pull out, and these are major sponsors, they had dwindled down to like 10 sponsors by the time this thing had got to this apex. They had a couple of small spots for a pain relief company and a bedding retailer. That was about it. All the big guys had left because they were worried about their brands too. They don't want to be associated with a sexual harasser or a misogynist. And I was just really, I mean, if you never had any other reason to question the judgment of this crazy guy in the White House, he comes out in the midst of the crisis and say, oh, Bill O'Reilly, he did nothing wrong. He's a very good guy. He's the best, very good guy. Bill O'Reilly, he's done nothing wrong. We're the best harassers. I'm the best harasser. He's about as good as a harasser as I am. He's a good guy, very, very good guy. So Trump comes out in the middle of this morass and throws his crazy weight behind Bill O'Reilly. So the brand of the White House is kind of weak right now. I hate to say it. But anyway, let's talk about branding. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Plaza.
No, I was
going to
say, yeah, really weak.
Yeah, so we're starting to hurt that White House brand. That's pretty bad, you thought. But we've seen, now let me talk about branding for a minute. Let's talk about branding. I'm going to put this in a simple way for you to wrap your finger around it, your brain around it. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear a company's name? If you want to talk about branding, let's break it down. Let's put it down at the lowest common denominator. What is the first thing that come to mind when you think of a company's name? Now, I'm just going to run down some companies, and you can just kind of tell me what comes to your mind, or just you can think it to yourself. First of all, Fox News. Now, if you think about branding, you can think about Fox News and its, let's say, prior to the Bill O'Reilly scandal, you can think of Fox News now. So as you can tell, branding can kind of shift with events and major occurrences. So if you have a very strong brand, you want to maintain that strong brand and not let current events change that perception, particularly if it's a good perception. Let's think about a company like Apple. What do you think about when you hear Apple? And what you think about if they are doing it right should be their brand, what their brand represents. Company like FUBU, what do you think about? When you think about McDonald's, what comes to mind? When you think about United Airlines, okay, here's another example. United Airlines actually had a pretty strong brand that was associated with good flights, good service, get you there on time. They had a very, very high rating. But once again, their brand has taken a serious hit. Now when you think about United Airlines, you think about somebody's going to beat the crap out of you if they want to take your seat. That's not the brand you really want. That is not what you want associated with your brand. You think about companies like BET. You think about companies like Nordstrom. Now, I remember Nordstrom from many years ago. I haven't been to a Nordstrom. I don't even know if they're still around, but I know that they had a very strong brand of a good reputation. I do know where they are. They had a very strong reputation of service. People would say, man, you go to Nordstrom, you can take a pair of shoes out and wear them till they run over and take them back, and they'll give you your money back or put you in another pair of shoes. That perception persisted with Nordstrom up to this day because of their good customer service. So when you think about branding, what you want to think about is, what is it that comes to mind when people say your company name? That puts branding in some real, real perspective. So, first of all, you want that something that comes to mind to be good. And it's good if something comes to mind in the first place. Now, if nothing comes to mind, then you got a little work to do. If they say, hey, Gatewood Marketing, say, I don't know. Well, I got some work to do. I admit, I still got to work on my brand so that people, when they hear branding, they can think a company that actually promotes small businesses and take them from where they want to be to where they want to go affordably, professionally, and second to none service. That's the brand I've been trying to push out here for many, many years. And many people, it has actually sunken in many places. So the first thing you want people to think of something, period, when they hear your brand. Your name is good, but what does that brand mean? Secondly, you want that something to be good. Okay, you want that something to be good. Not that we're going to beat you up when you get on our airplane. That's not good, okay? You want that something to be good. And thirdly, you want that good something to be aligned with your brand. So let's just say that there is something good. Let's say that you have a brand and people think of something good that is associated with the brand, but it's not necessarily that good thing you're trying to push. That's not bad, but it might not be as solid. It may be fleeting, and it may not resonate as much with your target audience. So let's just say if I think about McDonald's, when I think of McDonald's, I think of a cheap burger that's going to be fast and affordable and pretty decent service. But if also people think about, I really like the color of those arches. I mean, that's good, but that's not really what they're trying to push. They're trying to push their service. They're trying to push that it's affordable, it's family friendly. So those are the qualities that are associated with the brand. So having other good things to come up is not a bad thing, but you want that brand to resonate with what your core values are and what it is that your company represents. So let's put the question out here. What does that make me? What does that? You're the customer. You're the client. You're the listener out here. And I'm going to be putting this question out here. When I give these sermons, I want to put it in context with you. And to do that, I'm going to ask the question, and you ask the question. So what does that make me? Okay, well, let's go back to you starting your company. When you're trying to establish your brand as a small business, as an entrepreneur, as someone who's self-employed, what you want to do is go back to the reason you started the business in the first place. Now, in most cases, it went beyond money. I mean, we all want to make some money. We want to put our kids in school, get a nice crib, get some nice wheels under us, make some investments, and grow and leave a legacy behind. That's good, but usually there was something that drove you to start that business, and that's usually the seed, the brand seed that was dropped into the ground, and everything else is kind of like fertilizes it. So you ask that. I used to bring up the topic of the raison d'etre, the purpose, your reason for being. That's a good place to start with your brand, because you can't run from that. No matter how many other things you put in front of it, how you try to dress it up, it's going to keep coming back to why you started your business in the first place and what is it that drove you to do that. And so if you're trying to find your brand, if you're trying to locate your brand, if you're trying to connect with it, look inside of you first. That's the first place to look. Who are you? What are your views? What is your vision? Okay. What is your company culture? And what is the promises that you make to your customers and other stakeholders? That's where your brand starts. And then your brand starts to manifest itself in tangible ways, like the quality of the products that you put out, the type of service that you offer. Are you innovative? Are you cutting edge? How's your pricing? Did your brand resonate with people on the low-end side of the market or people on the high-end? What is your look and feel? What is your color scheme? And ultimately, what type of customers do you want to attract? So simply put, your brand is the promises you make to your customers and your other stakeholders. You don't want people to start filling in the gaps because you have not done an adequate job of branding or fighting off negative images, such as beating people up for getting on your plane. you don't want your brand to be a promise that I'm going to beat you up if I need your seat. That is not the kind of promise you want to make to your customers. So your brand tells people what they can expect by doing business with you. Now, usually the most tangible aspect of a brand is the logo. Your logo is like the tangible manifestation of your brand. And so you want to give some thought when you're putting your logo together. Does this logo represent your brand? Does it have meaning? Does it have impact? Can you trademark it? Can this logo go out here? When you start building this national company, can you trademark this logo? Because this logo is going to become an emblematic symbol of your brand. So when your website, your packaging materials, all of that stuff should be integrated with your logo, and it should communicate your brand. So what does that make me? This is what I want you to do. I want you to go out here and think about your brand. One, protect your brand. Get yourself a logo. Trademark that logo. Make sure nobody infringes on it. Live up to the promises made by your brand. You can't be all things to all people. Last thing, but not least, get some help. Call my company, Gatewood Marketing, 301-839-2836, and let us build a brand for your company. When we come back, we're going to talk to Philosophy about the five revelations she made during this tax season. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOL and 95.9 FM.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do.
Know someone being bullied online? You can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Ellie the Mammoth, and my friend Sid the Sloth knows what being a great parent is all about.
I'm responsible, loving, nurturing.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
1450 WOL Washington, W240 DJ Washington, 95.9 WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Alrighty, this is the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gossip. We're not saving souls, we are saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community, and we're celebrating entrepreneurship. So if you're an entrepreneur, or if you're thinking about it, we are a dependable and reliable resource. We've been here for 7 years almost. It'll be 7 years, as a matter of fact. Hey, it's already 7 years. It was 7 years. It's 7 years next month. And the reason I remember this, because my dad, bless his heart, he passed away on April 9th. And one of the things I was deciding at the time of his passing was to start this radio show. And unfortunately, he never heard the show. He passed away about a month before the show started. And I was looking for a way to honor him. I mean, he had a big influence on my life. He was an entrepreneur. He was a sharecropper first. And he had a small business store. And at the age of 8 years old, I really decided to work in the store just to get out of that hot cotton field. I said, I'm going to be smart if I have to fake it. So he put me behind the counter in the store. I was only 8 years old because I really wasn't much good out in the field. And that was my first taste of entrepreneurship. I didn't know what to call it at the time. I just knew I was behind the store 8 years old making change. And so I wanted to find a way to honor him. And I named the show Marketing Pulpit in his honor. He was a Baptist minister. He was in the same church for 51 years. And he was a very powerful man. He was very independent. He did not like handouts. He would not take the government help, even though we were very deserving of it. But he was, I don't know if he did it intentionally or if it just in his innate abilities, but he wanted us to be independent. And that's why most of us have become very independent. All 14 of his children. I am number 10 in the family. And my mother, Miss Geneva Gatewood, Geneva Gaddy Gatewood, she is 96 years old, 97 years old this year. And I'll be going down to see her in a few days. Bless her heart. But anyway, folks, this is the Marketing Pulpit Show, and I am Robert Gatewood, your host. I'm glad to be here to help honor and celebrate the entrepreneurs, the business owners, the self-employed. And for the people who are working, who have regular 9-to-5 jobs, I want to celebrate you, too, because we need you as well. We need you to provide the support, to support the businesses out here, to provide the psychological, the mental, the all this kind of support we need. And it's the best place to get training. A lot of people that have gone out and started companies have first gotten there. They cut their teeth on their regular jobs, myself included. I worked for many years for many companies before I started to start my own business. So I want to do a hat off to everyone who's out here in the workforce. And I want to thank you for supporting us and putting up with us. It's not easy supporting an entrepreneur. I mean, we can be some tough folks to work with at times. So you regular folks out here in the workforce, I want to thank you for supporting us and putting up with us. One of my co-hosts, Ms. Falachide, who's with me today, she's a phenomenal, really, really unique, powerful. She does great service in the tax and accounting field, and I'm honored to have her as one of my co-hosts. And today she's going to bring some information about some of the things she discovered that was revealed to her. She went up to the mountaintop like Moses and came back with 5 commandments from tablets. hey, sound like you were baptized by fire this tax season.
I was baptized. Well, I was like, oh, you know, it was just kind of depressing to me. You know, I put my heart into what I do and the importance of having effective accounting and small businesses knowing. And it was just heartbreaking to see that they just don't even have the basics. Mm. So, yeah.
All right, so come off Mount Sinai with your 5 okay, revelations. So,
you know, after tax season, I always go back and just do a good, like, journaling session or just basically an evaluation of what I was able to achieve, what was not able to achieve, what I observed in consistency in the clientele, and just what basic people needs were. Mm-hmm. So I sat back and I just started analyzing the Robert, and I realized that, first off, small business owners don't even understand the structure of their business. Mm. You hear so many people say, oh, I have an LLC, I have a corporation, I have this, I have that. But when we go into detail as to, okay, so what's next for tax purposes? What do you do? How do you file your taxes? They have no clue. Mm. So what I found was a lot of small business owners that had normal single-member LLCs, mm-hmm. they didn't realize that they were supposed to include their business income expenses on the form Schedule C attached to their personal tax return.
Wow. And that's the big thing, because the type of structure you have depends on whether you need to file a Schedule C or 1120, or if you're nonprofit,
exactly.
It's a 990.
65, yes. Like, it determines what you have to file. And if you don't even have the basic knowledge on what form you're supposed to file, how are you going to stay in compliance?
Hey, boy.
So it's small business, they're not in compliance for tax purposes.
Wow, that's a big one.
So much, yeah. It was just kind of depressing because that's the basics. Well, you know, that's what you're supposed to know the moment you even, before you even decide to register the business, you're supposed to know, how does this benefit me for tax purposes? How does this, how will this hurt me for tax purposes?
And you know what?
So it's letting me, I can't hear you, Robert.
I was going to say, and Felicia, that's another reason why people should tune in to this show and listen to people like you. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know. You can't call Felicia Day or people like Felicia Day if you don't know that you need somebody like that. So we are a foundation to at least try to steer you to people like Felicia Day that can help you. So you got to start by getting the information. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, that's really important. And that's the thing about it. They skipped the whole important step. They jumped and started the business problem, but they didn't consult with the two most important people that were actually the only ones at one point in time that was registering businesses, which were the accountants and the attorney.
Right.
Yep. So that's why this type of platform is just amazing for small business owners, because they can skip a step, but they can't really skip the step, but they'll know more than the average business owner. So, yeah, that was one revelation. And it was really depressing, because that just shows that they're just jumping into it head first without really putting together a solid foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So my second revelation was this, Robert. A lot of small business owners aren't anticipating the different expenses that is involved with managing and maintaining a business.
Oh, my goodness. You're one of my favorite ones. Oh, my God. I lay in the bed staring at the ceiling at night over this one. It's like, God, you need accounting. You need marketing. You need advertising.
Yes.
You got to have these things. You can't just start a business and the only expense is going to be to pay myself.
Look, Robert, so many small business owners would be totally surprised that in addition to them owing taxes, they had to pay for their personal property tax. They had to pay me. Mm. They had to pay this. And it was really depressing to see the lack of enthusiasm behind taking care of your business stuff. Like, especially in the state of Maryland, in almost 30 states, if I'm not mistaken, but definitely in Maryland and D.C. and Virginia, we have to file tangible personal property forms. And I know you know about this one,
mm-hmm.
We just filed yours, and you
that's
had
right.
to send in your $300 check.
That's right.
But that's a requirement to let the state know what type of stuff are you housing in their area. They want to know, do you have cars sitting on your lot or supplies?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just part of just doing business. Small business owners need to realize it's not just the taxes, it's not just the forms, it's also basic account fees, basic attorney fees, state compliance forms. It's a lot, Robert. So it was just difficult realizing that they didn't want to even cough up $300.
Well, you know, Felicia Day, all these are good ones, but that's another good one, because one of the things, you know, as a business consultant and a business developer, one of the things I'm constantly telling people, there are certain things that are so important that you cannot be in business without. So you have to calculate these certain things when you're setting up your business. If you can't afford certain things and certain expenses like advertising, paying your taxes to the
mm-hmm.
state, your property taxes and so forth, you cannot afford to be in business, or at least not full time. You might can have a little something on the side, a little hustle on the side doing this and that and the other, but to run a bona fide, certified, real business that's on the books of the state in which you operate, there are incumbent expenses that go with the territory. There is no getting around it. And if you can't pay those expenses, you have to really take a second look as to whether or not you're ready to be an entrepreneur.
Exactly. And then another thing that was challenging this year was that they don't know what they are spending their money on.
Mm.
People are just making irrational decisions about products. They're sitting back just spending money that is completely unnecessary, but they're spending money, but they're not making enough to make it back. And it's just really depressing to see that if you ask them, oh, well, how much inventory did you buy this year? They don't know.
Don't say inventory.
I'm going to be honest with you, Robert. Like, this year I lost one of my bookkeeping clients because the first thing I wanted to do was figure out how much inventory she had sitting in her hand so she can now use that information to go and try to make money. She kept saying she's not making money. She don't know what to do. I said, well, let's see how much money you have just sitting in your inventory. Hopefully this will help you really realize that you have to sell.
Fly today.
She realized she had over $15,000 worth of inventory sitting in her basement.
Fly today. You must have read my mind this morning, because I had this conversation yesterday with somebody. I was saying, folks, there's a couple of things I just detest. And one of those things was inventory. it probably because when I came out of college, my first job was a buyer. I was a buyer for a national food chain called Grand Union. And they drove in our head. We had to do what we call a turn. That means you got to have a constant balance between running out of stock and not having too much inventory. And they were like the two evils. So you had to kind of balance the two. And inventory is not just the cost of having it sitting on the shelf, but then there's trink, there's damage, there's theft, water, you mess around and have a flood. I mean, inventory. So the worst thing you can do as a small business, and I've had people come to me for lunch today, before they came to me, they had gone out and made this colossal mistake.